Well, as always, we need the Lord. I have a message this morning. Ask the Lord to bless it. It's over in Ezekiel. And I believe I want it to be a message of hope to all of us. We find here in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, kind of a stark story. It's not new to us. It has always seemed to me to be spoken, in my mind, it seemed to be interpreted as hope to those who are lost. And it is that. It is that. But I believe it can also mean hope to more than just the lost. We find here in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, maybe we're going to start with the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones. Now, that's quite a vision right here, just to start off with. I think all of us would be a bit shocked if all of a sudden the Lord got a hold of us and carried us off in the Spirit and showed us a place of desolation, what it was. But it wasn't just desolation, it wasn't just a desert area. There was evidence of what used to be life. And that was the tragedy of the vision that he saw here. Generally, the path to the dead bones, they didn't start out dead. There was a stepping, a walk. There was things that happened in those lives that brought them to once, evidently, to have a bone structure. There had to have been vibrant life there. And and it doesn't tell us all the story of how they got to be this dry bone, seemed like very dry bones, this condition that these bones found themselves in, was completely devoid of life. Only thing that was left was evidence of what used to be. So part of my message is not just to those who find themselves completely dried up in a place of hope, a place of needing help. My message is also this morning to us as we walk, if we start finding dry places that is heading to this disease that brings to a place of despair and want, there is still the prophecy of the Lord. There is still help in the Word of God. There is still, Brother Gracie shared some with us yesterday afternoon of how the Word of the Lord seems to address almost every condition, every place that mankind finds them in. There's an answer in the Word of the Lord. All the confusion of the world today and all the things that's going out in society, and people not knowing which way they're headed and come up with all kinds of erroneous ideas, the Lord still has an answer. Yes. It's just clearly stated. Yes. Brother Gracie shared with us some of those statements that was there in the scripture yesterday that was so clearly spoken and so clearly addresses many of where we are today. Right. There's some places that seems like when we walk through life, we can find ourselves sometimes almost without perceiving it. We find ourselves in a little bit of a dry corner, not knowing how you even got there. And sometimes it's not necessarily wrong. Sometimes it's just a condition of life that we find ourselves in. But I want to encourage us, when we find ourselves in there, there is a well, there's a place that the Lord wants to bring us back to that we don't end up in this place. Amen. We don't have to dry up.
Yes.
We can become thirsty, but we don't want to, we don't have to become dead.
Amen.
The Lord still has life. He has things He wants to share with us. Not just out of His Word, but He wants to sit down with us individually and commune with our soul. Because we need that. Sometimes we can feel alone in a crowd. And you might be here today and you feel, maybe you came here and you, nobody knows what's going on inside your spirit right now. And you might feel alone and might be feeling a little bit of this dryness. Well, the Lord wants to sit down. I don't know what the woman must have been feeling when she snuck down to the well midday for water. Remember, went down to Jacob's well, Samaritan woman, went down there midday. In my mind, I've wondered different times, why did she go down there midday? It wasn't common normally. They went down in the early mornings to get this water. It wasn't in the heat of the day they went to that well. I don't know why. Perhaps she was an embarrassed person. She felt needy. But this day, she went out there hoping maybe not to see any prying eyes, but there was somebody. And the somebody was sitting there with purpose. I want to tell you today, if now there's a place that's just hungry inside you, and maybe you snuck in the door just not knowing exactly everything you needed, but Jesus knows. Jesus wants to sit down beside and give you a cool drink of water. Something that satisfies your soul. Something that revives that is the devil is wanting to put the poison of dryness that would bring us to a place of deadness. But Jesus comes out and He pours out this good cold glass of, and it's more than what you could pull out of Jacob's well, but this is something that comes from heaven itself to come to feed our hearts and our souls and to satisfy the longing and to give you purpose and direction. A lot of times it doesn't always just bloom completely in our mind that we don't always see. Oh, I can see clearly now the steps for the next 50 years. That's not the way it normally comes. But it's one step at a time. With the hand of your Savior holding yours. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Very many. This sounds like a whole lot of people had made shipwreck. There were round about, behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, this is encouraging to me because when God sees dried up, dead places, He doesn't throw up His hands. He doesn't have a plan. He does have a plan. He showed His servant, look at all this need. Look how desperate the case is. And He spoke to him. He spoke to His servant and He said, we got a place we're going with this. You see all the need, and folks, sometimes when the Lord asks us to walk around what we sometimes are confusing places in our mind and we don't know exactly the parameter of all that's going on, sometimes He asks us to walk around and perceive and come to the place of admission that inside me there's some deadness, there's some things that aren't right, there's some things that need to be addressed. It's good time to recognize if there's some dead bones in places, and maybe even just an infection, a little something going on that's headed in the wrong direction. This morning, I want to tell you there's still good news for every one of us that are dealing with this confusion of mind. There's answers. You don't have to end up in this valley completely dried up. Don't have to lose your life. Because Jesus came with a plan, with a good cold drink of water, with hope, with a purpose, with a light to shine on your path, a loving hand to grasp hold of yours, some truth, some friends. He set, and there's another scripture that's come to my mind right now, talks about he set the solitary. I'm picking out just a little part of that verse, but he set the solitary in family. That means you're not alone. That means you've got a home. It means you're in a place where there's others here also that love you. Even though you might have troubles in your life, it's here. There are people here that want to help and support you and help breathe life and speak life into your life. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Quite frankly, sometimes we look at situations and we wonder what's a way out of it. Sometimes we look at other people's lives and we wonder. And it boggles our mind at times to think, how can this ever be made right? I've had those. And I've seen more than one that I thought there was no hope. And I've seen them turn around. Brother Philip Busby was mentioned yesterday, I think. That was one of those that I had seen, tried to talk with him, and it seemed like his mind was way out there. And I thought, I'm still praying for him. But I'll admit, sometimes my prayers was like, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how this one's going to come down. This one's very dry. And even if the bones started coming together, there's no way he can stand up and walk, because there's just not enough left there to walk. That was some of what I felt when I looked at the... And so I guess I can relate a little bit here to Ezekiel. The Lord says, how can these bones live? The best I could hang my head and say, Lord, thou knowest. But he walks in here now and thanks the Lord and has mind enough to do it. Because God himself does that. I have a nephew named Lauren. And I'll admit to you, there were times I thought, there's no way. Yes. The Lord knows how to breathe life. The Lord turns people around. And the mindset that he had back then has been changed. This is a work of God. And I want to tell you, if we find ourselves, maybe you're not a sinner today, but you feel something beginning to dry up, I want to ask you, before you get to this valley of dry bones, look to your Savior. Let him prevent this place. But if you're in this place, I want you to know there is great hope for you. You don't have to stay there any longer. There is a God who saves. And I know as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking, well, maybe the Lord wants this for night service, but I want to tell you, this is good for every one of us. And as we go out there and interact with the world, we have something we can share with them, a positive, real truth that we can look at these dead bones in the eyes and prophesy hope. God has salvation for you. Son of man, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. The Lord inspires hope. The Lord gives us a message to share. Because we've seen his hand at work, not just in others. But haven't you felt and seen His hand at work in your own life? Haven't we all experienced places in our life where we started walking through this valley, we started walking through places perhaps of discouragement. We have places that sometimes we don't see the road before us. I admit that and know that to be so. And there's places that we get in that seem like the devil will pile on. Brother Clifford Wilson used to tell us that the devil's not a gentleman. He'll take the moments that we feel so very down or feeling discouraged, and he'll just pile on. Try to make it worse. That's what the devil's like. And in those moments we feel like that there's no way, sometimes we feel like there's no way to go forward because I don't even see a way forward. But there's still a shepherd. There is a prophecy, there is a communion, there's a communication that comes from God Himself. I've been there, slipped off in the closet. I remember one time, shortly after I got saved, and it seemed like the devil had released all his forces to try to overwhelm me and cause me to come to the place of just utter despair again. And I remember walking back down a road behind there at the farm, walking back down a path and getting behind a pond dam and just falling under the weight of the load. And I cried out to God. Didn't know what else to do. Just cried out to Him. This is one of those instances in my walk with the Lord where He came and sat down beside me. Though my hands couldn't touch Him, my hands could feel Him. I felt Him, and there was a communication began to happen. I'm not going to tell you this happens every day, but I want to tell you the Lord knows how to nurture the soul. I want to tell you, young folks, seek a place of communion with the Lord. You don't have to dry up and leave scattered bones. There's places of reality in walking with the Lord. There's prophecy. He comes and He communes with you. And He speaks place. He speaks life in places that are that seem to be drying up, or perhaps is dry and confusing moments. I remember when I was back there and I fell under the weight of all this oppression. But Jesus stepped up there and sat down beside me. And actually, normally I pray bending over with my eyes closed, but I wasn't doing that anymore. I sat there and talked with Him. He was right here. He was there. No, these eyes didn't see Him. But we talked. And we talked and we talked. Most of our prayers are bent down here and we have our things that we say. But this prayer, this communion, we were talking. Yes. Just, I was asking questions and He was answering. Just coming, flowing back to my mind. These ears didn't hear it, but some other ears did. I don't know, I can't tell you everything, but the Lord was there. And I'm not saying this to tell you that's going to be your everyday experience, but I want you to know there's places that the Lord, He loves you so much, He wants to commune with your soul. He wants to breathe life into you. Amen. He wants to prophesy to your soul. He wants to keep you from the devil. He wants to keep you from this place of utter despair. And He's able to. He said unto me, Son of Man. No, we're going down here. He said, fourth verse. Again He said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, how sweet it is when we get alone in a closet with the Lord and these ears begin to hear the word of the Lord. Oh, how enlivening it is. How encouraging. How inspiring. Though we might still be in the midst, but yet it changes things. All ye bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I know how I felt when I was out there in the devil's territory. Felt like there may be life for others, but not for me. But when the Lord convinced me that night that He wanted me and loved me, and He was able to breathe, and He did breathe life into me, there's a hope. There is some prophecy that the Lord wants us to grasp hold and own it as ours. He's there. He's there to breathe life into us. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now this is the work of the Lord, I want to stop off slowly here, maybe at this verse a little bit. Lay sinews upon you, lay flesh. I want to point out that when we first get saved, you're not born full grown. We don't expect from our children, our adolescent, maybe I should say our toddlers, we don't expect from them the same thing we do from our teenagers. They're different. They've grown older. They've grown stronger. They've grown more responsible. We have different expectations. The Lord's the same way with you and I. When we are first born, don't think the Lord expects you to go conquer the world tomorrow. What I mean by that, I want to be clear, He wants you to not let the devil in. That's true. But what I mean by that is that it's not your job to go to evangelize the world tomorrow. You will have a place. Part of your place is just breathing and living and enjoying your salvation. And just simply by doing that causes everybody to walk by and listen to the coos of the baby. And say, oh, isn't that sweet? And it is. Aren't we attracted to these little... Supposed to be. And just like that, the world, others, when newborn babes come into the kingdom, there's such joy that goes through our hearts. We walk by. You know what the mother likes to do. And we're the mother as a church. We like to walk by and watch their growth and feed them and nurture them. And have you seen a batch of mothers gather around these young ones and pass them back and forth and talk about them and nurture them, take care of them? We're that mother.
Yes.
And we, when you come to the Lord and get saved, you're gonna have a lot of mothers. Actually, one mother, but a lot of members in this mother that we love. We love you, and we love to nurture your soul. Well, as the sinews grow and as the flesh begins to lay upon there, then there's more responsibility. And then there's the Lord will grow you to a place of greater strength and greater responsibility. And then you're going to fight your battles in different ways. The Lord will ask you to take on more responsibility. And as life goes on, the Lord may call you to other places of purpose and duty in the body. That's the way that works. I want to encourage you as you walk with the Lord and the Lord prophesies into your life. Young people, the Lord wants to use you in His service. And I'm not here to scare you and say the Lord wants to call you to the pulpit ministry, because He may. But He definitely wants to use you. And not just the young people. Every one of us has a place in this body. He's breathed life into you for a purpose. He has spoken to you and called you into this body, has laid sinews, has laid flesh upon you for the active growth, for the active purpose that His body might be an effective, a unit, an effective army that goes out for the work of the Lord. And that's what happened to these. They stood up as a great army. Now let's go on. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, how do you get from a place of very dry bones to a place, an army that stands up? All these deadness, all this that had happened, somehow, I don't know what all must have happened in their lives to bring them to a place of vibrant life, to a place of utter destruction. But then, here's where the hope is. The Lord came by. The Lord addressed their need. The Lord came and began to breathe. Not only breathe, but he began to prophesy to them hope and life. And I want to tell you today, the Lord is still doing that. The Lord can still find people in their broken places, is still able to cause them to stand upright and be one of these mighty men of God who's able to take their place in this great army that's going out. The Lord's able to inspire you in righteousness and godliness, not in carnal strength. Folks, if we try to do this battle in our own carnal strength, we're going to become failures. Oh, there's a great key that the Lord would have us to learn to use. And it's that great key of humility that goes in and opens that lock and opens the door of great strength. I think about meekness. Moses was a man who said he was the meekest man of all the world. I see meekness as a wonderful blend of humility and strength and boldness. Those almost seem paradoxical. But humility was greatly needed by Moses. Also, great strength was needed by Moses. Those aren't paradoxes. When they are met together in godly direction, godly humility and godly boldness, when they come together, they create something that is so beautiful. A man will stand like a rock and be as humble as a baby. And people find security in that. They find great hope in that because they see something more than they... Which one of us as men find humility to be easy? How is it that the captain of our salvation learned by things that he suffered? And the Lord wants us also to be willing to bring ourselves under subjection, to hear the word of the Lord, bring ourselves under his great loving touch, and use this key of humility to open true riches and true strength. In our own selves, we're going to be failures. By human wisdom, that door is not unlocked. By human bullheadedness, that door closes. But when we, by humility, and we seek the will of the Lord, and we open up that door, then there is a great boldness that we have in Christ, that we stand up like Peter, not to be mean and cruel to people around him, but to strongly, with conviction, proclaim the word of the Lord. The Lord wants to take you, young people, and breathe and prophesy to you and reveal to you things in your life for your tomorrows, that you might stand up and be part of this great army of the Lord that He's calling us all to be active in. He wants the sinews. He wants the flesh to come upon there. And not just that, He wants the breath of God to be in our nostrils. This breath of the Lord that I see, what I believe the Lord wants us, especially today, is to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you that this filling of the Holy Spirit is not something I don't want you to think of as being, well, I came and got sanctified and it's just all poured in me and now I've... That's good, but it's beyond that too. This breath of the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you when you get up from that altar. This breath of the Holy Spirit is active when you get up from that altar and you've given your all to the Lord. When He has breathed life into you, He's breathed this Spirit, this place of... The analogy doesn't completely fit in every... But I want to talk to you right now about the Holy Spirit and His action when He comes into our lives. There is definitely a cleaning. And there is a place when we enter into this land of Canaan and we learn to walk with the Lord. He leads us to Jericho. And we march around those walls. And the walls fall when we are obeying the Lord. And right after Jericho, do you remember how confident, how self-confident they came? And you know what that does when we begin to lean to our own understanding? That sets us up to a place of there's some disease starting in the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, they felt something begin to work in them that was headed them for dryness. And people lost their lives because of their action. Achan, you remember? Wasn't just him. In your land of Canaan, as you're walking with the Lord, that Holy Spirit, that breath of the Lord is on the hunt for places of carnality. And recently I was reminded of the analogy of, remember the Lord sending His hornets to chase out the enemy. You know, in the land of Canaan, the Lord has some hornets by His Holy Spirit. He has ways of finding where the old carnal flesh is still trying to hide over in the bushes. God knows how to send His hornets in there and to flush out those places because God is purifying His temple. God's interested in running out anything that's unlike Him. He's there to destroy the old carnal man, to make you and I strong in Him with great boldness, knowing that the God of heaven Himself is working in me. He's laying sinew. He's laying flesh upon me. And He's breathing life and power and godliness into my life. That's what He's doing. So I want to tell you sanctification, well, it is an act of getting over there. But that's not where the act ends. It's continued as we walk in that life. Oh, the Lord is revealing more and more. He will use all His tools to explore those places in our life that perhaps still places are hiding. And He'll bring it. You know, you can't get rid of something you don't know you have. But when the Lord reveals it to us, and He brings it to us. Brother Clifford told me this one time when I was wrestling with this idea of sanctification. And he said, Brother Ivan, he said, when I got sanctified, he said, the Lord told me, He said, now what you've done, you've brought me your heart. And you've given it to me, and I've taken it. But the place inside your heart is a small place right now. And what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be chipping off the areas and I'm going to be making my abode bigger area. And what I chip off is your job to throw out. Can you get a hold of that and understand that too? This is part of what the Lord does. He breathes life and then that life lives and expands. And continues its active work in our life. And then you can say along with the songwriter, after a while you walk with the Lord and you look, I can see far down the mountain. Amen. There was things back there. Oh, you was right where your Lord wanted you there at that point. But I can see how the Lord has brought me, the Spirit has led without error. The Spirit has led all this way to this land where I am now. And the land where you are now isn't the land you're going to be in tomorrow. Next week, This is part of the hope of this gospel. This is part of the prophecy that the Lord brings to you and I. Prophecy, this is part of the Word of God that He speaks to you and I. There's hope as we walk. There's dry bones back there, but the Lord has saved me from that, has put life in me and brought me to this place. Has changed me. Oh, when I look far down the mountain years and years ago now, it doesn't seem that long ago in my mind, but it was when I start counting them as a number of years back there that I felt that I was in that dry, dead place. I was lost and away from the Lord, and the Lord called and brought me to a place now of life. And all along the way, there's some places I have to admit, even now in my walk, with the Lord, I have to admit there's places that I look back and I shake my head and say, I wish I'd have never done that. I'm embarrassed at them. But I can tell you, the Spirit has led unerring. Every time I've yielded to His impulses, it was always good. Every time I yielded to my impulses, it was always bad. But the Lord has mercy, and it comes and keeps prophesying, keeps calling to the four winds. Say, enter in. Enter in. Receive it. Oh, let's open our door and allow Him to breathe upon us. And then we stand up. We stand up as a live army. Unified. We've got the same breath. Got the same blood. The same Father. The same purpose. The same direction we're going. In holiness unto the Lord. Lord, I need You today. Lord, I don't want these things out there in the world. Those things that assault our soul. Holiness unto the Lord. Those things I deplore now. Those things I used to not. But I recognize them more clearly now than I ever did. Why? Because the Lord has begun to prophesy. Hope your mind can turn that corner. The Lord's Word has become more alive to me. The Lord's Word began to speak to me. And things become more clear. The Lord wants to do that for every one of us. I want to tell you today, if you have entered a place of you feel some dryness coming on, the Lord wants to revive that. He wants to re-inspire that. Amen. You don't need to, don't go on in that dryness. Don't let the devil get you in a place that you feel like there's not any hope, because that's exactly what the devil is. He's not a gentleman. He'll try to get us in that place where we feel like there's no hope. But there is hope. We can come and drink again. We can come and allow that Spirit to flow over us. Feel the wind of the Lord, the breath. Sit down and listen to Him speak. And feel that enlivening force again within. Sometimes we need that, isn't it? Why do we have revivals? Is it just to call sinners out of from the... It's to revive. Sometimes it's me that needs that revival. So I want to encourage you today. And also, if you're here today and you're nothing but dead, dry bones inside, this same Word comes out lovingly to you and says, live. Live. There's hope. You can yet again stand up. You can have life. You can have hope. And you can put behind you all the failures of the past and begin a consistent life. Yes. Where you can stand up and take your place in the army of God. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.